Hey, this is called the Short Commute Podcast. It's been a while, but we are back. Pastor Drew and Zach here, my office.
Hello.
There was like a poster or something when Michael Jordan came back from playing baseball.
Yeah.
That said, I'm back, right?
Yeah.
We kind of feel like Michael Jordan.
I don't ever feel like Michael Jordan, either. But yeah.
How was your summer?
It was great. It was great. Yours too?
Good. Now I have two kids, so
you
that's great.
Two kids, yeah. That's good. That's perfect number. Until you have more.
Yeah, right. Well, before we took our extended hiatus.
Sabbatical.
Yep, sabbatical. We were going through the position statements of the Christian Reformed Church. We're going to pick right back up there and talk about the Christian Reformed Church's position statement on disabilities today.
Yeah, yeah, good.
So if you remember, most of them were two paragraphs, and we would take a paragraph at a time. This is one paragraph. Do we want to take the whole thing right away?
Yeah, why not?
Deal.
Let's do it.
Disabilities. The church pledges to be a caring community, recognizing the needs and gifts of people with physical, emotional, sensory, and intellectual disabilities. Through ministries such as the Office of Disability Concerns, in collaboration with Friendship Ministries and the Disability Concerns Office of the Reformed Church of America, the CRC urges all churches and members to work toward eliminating physical and architectural barriers, attitudinal barriers that make persons with disabilities feel unwelcome, and communication barriers in sight, sound, and understanding. Using the theme, Everybody Belongs, Everybody Serves, all churches, classes, and educational institutions are encouraged to sponsor events celebrating a disability week each year in October. Each classes is encouraged to identify at least one person to serve as a regional disability advocate, and each church is encouraged to adopt a church policy on disability and to appoint at least one member as a church disability advocate. Thoughts?
Okay. Well, there's one thing in that paragraph that I don't like. Can you guess what it is?
I better not.
No. The only thing I really don't like about this position statement, and we'll probably come across this in other position statements too, possibly, but educational institutions and churches and classes are encouraged to sponsor events celebrating a disability week each year in October. I never like the fact that, you know, we're encouraged to set aside a week to, you know, think about this or that. And I just think it's a much better thing to do, taking into consideration the rest of what we're encouraged to in this, to just incorporate
all the time
people with different abilities all the time.
Right.
We do at our church set aside a Sunday service where it's completely led by Friendship Club people, just like we do a youth service, I guess. And so that's maybe talking out of both sides of my mouth.
Or whatever, But our frustration is less with, because we've talked about this type of thing before. It's not that we don't care about disability concerns, and that's why we don't do Disability Concern Week.
Right, right.
The issue is there are like 100 weeks.
Yeah.
That's tongue-in-cheek, or that's hyperbole. But there's like 100 weeks that the denomination asks you to do. And they're all wonderful.
Yeah.
Sanctity of Human Life Week, and Chaplaincy Week, and Canada Week, and All Nations Heritage Week, and Disability Concerns Week, and Race Week, and it's like all wonderful stuff we should care about, but we would never get around to preaching anything but some topic that the denomination hands you, and that seems a little strange.
Yeah, yeah. I just don't like it that, this week we care about missions,
right,
and this week we care about disability
time.
Concerns, and this week,
We do have Friendship Ministries that meets at our church.
And it's
it's been going on for
30-some
years.
Yeah.
Pastor Drew's pretty involved in the leadership this year.
No,
But yeah, we love that program, and having them here is great. It's a bit ecumenical. We have people coming from Reformed Church and everywhere else.
Yeah, I think when we're talking about the students, there's maybe only four or five out of the 20 or so potential that are from our church.
Yeah.
So it's very nice. Yeah. Yeah,
which is great. Maybe worth talking through for people who maybe haven't thought of this kind of thing before. What does it mean when it says, work toward eliminating physical and architectural barriers, attitudinal barriers, and communication barriers in sight, sound, and understanding? Because some people, we don't always understand what that means to sort of make space for people with disabilities.
Yeah.
So let's just take them one at a time, maybe. What would be examples of physical and architectural barriers?
Well, obviously steps.
Yep.
Pews.
So steps, because if I'm in a wheelchair,
yeah,
you can't wheelchair up steps. That's impossible.
Right.
Right? So think of your church. Think of where your small group meets or whatever. Mm-hmm. Would someone who maybe can't walk very well or is in a wheelchair, would they be able to get in? Would they be able to go into all the rooms in your church?
I don't necessarily think they need to go into all the rooms of the church, but...
Well, I mean...
In order to part... They need to right. be able to participate
Can they get in the sanctuary but nowhere else?
Yeah.
Can they not get to the fellowship hall? I mean, I'm thinking bigger than just
yeah.
a spot to sit in the sanctuary.
Yeah, architectural and physical limitations. That would include things that we take for granted, too, like bathrooms.
Right.
Getting into bathrooms, the width of doorways,
yep.
steps. I mean, these are all things. And for a church like ours that's been around for 150 years.
Yeah, it wasn't built that way.
It wasn't built that way. And we, I mean, and we are taking steps to, you know, we need to budget so that we can make things more accessible. And we've already done so in a lot of ways.
There's a handicap stall in most bathrooms nowadays, so something to consider if you're an able-bodied person. Maybe don't use that stall if all the other ones are open, because it seems silly to say, right? But a handicapped person can't always fit a wheelchair into the other one, so
right.
you're taking up the only space they can use.
Or if you're going to use it, just make sure you're going fast.
Yeah. Parking spaces is yep. another one.
Yeah.
You may have noticed that some handicapped parking spaces have that spot that's designated with slash lines that nobody can park in.
Yeah.
That's because a lot of special needs vans or vehicles have it so that people can get out in a wheelchair to the side. So that's why that space is created. You mentioned pews.
Yeah. I mean, when you think about wheelchairs, is there a space in the sanctuary that can accommodate the space that a wheelchair takes up?
Yeah. Or we end up putting you in the aisle sticking out.
Which
right?
Isn't.
That's not very welcoming.
Approved either.
Right.
Yeah.
We have cut out a section of pews
mm-hmm.
to make space for wheelchairs, and we've also put some chairs in the front.
Six and rows,
there are a few spots where there are sort of on the ends. We've removed a few chairs so that you can fit a wheelchair in there.
And we can do that on the fly, too.
Right.
Which is nice, yeah.
And we have done that. So those are physical and architectural barriers, attitudinal barriers.
Well, I liken this, you know, somebody mentioned this to me a few years ago. They said, Pastor Drew, you know, it just really irritates me that, you know, we have little kids in the worship service and they're so distracting and they're always making noise. And, you know, I don't think this person was telling me this so that I would do something about it. She was just kind of venting. But, you know, people have those same attitudes toward people that have disabilities, too, because sometimes you have twitches, outbursts, different just kind of habitual things. And if you're going to let yourself get distracted by that, it's going to infringe on your experience.
Right.
But we need to extend a little grace to one another.
An attitude of grace.
And this needs to be a place for everybody to be able to participate in worship. And so I think that's an example of an attitudinal barrier.
Right.
Like, why would somebody be in here if they're going to be distracting without any grace as to the situation or the person?
I was leading worship at a church years ago, and we would meet with the whole staff to plan the service.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the staff members, I had a friend who went to the church who had a special need, and they would make some noise sometimes. And someone from the staff said, man, I really hope he knows to excuse himself if he's being too noisy.
Ooh.
And I was really glad that the pastor sort of made a big deal out about that and said, no, I really hope that our congregation knows that he's allowed to make noise.
Yeah.
And I think that's a healthier perspective.
Well played.
Yeah, it was great. So that's attitudinal barriers. And then we've got communication barriers in sight, sound, and understanding.
You know, we've got some examples in our church of people that loud noise, loud music it's just overstimulating for them.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have that at every worship service, but they sometimes choose not to come to those worship services. Now, I would say that we have spaces in our church where even though you're not in the sanctuary, you can still participate in worship, but a step removed.
Without some of those triggers, maybe, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, you know, like some of the other things architecturally, established churches can only do so much at any given time I think that what we're encouraged to in this position statement is just to continue to think about that and to continue to accommodate.
Right.
And that doesn't, I don't even think it necessarily only applies to people with disabilities.
No,
we just need to continue to accommodate.
Understanding changes with age. So you have age appropriate courses and worship and, with people who speak different languages, do you have ways for them to participate in your service, and are you being welcoming there?
Yeah, we have all these things going on at our church right now, and we've got things in the works, but you can kind of only do one thing at a time. Yeah. But you got to keep pushing it.
Keep asking those questions.
Yeah.
Yeah, so something to consider for everyone listening. And while I say that, a podcast is not a friendly service for someone who can't hear. We're not being very welcoming to our deaf friends, but consider how you can make a space for people with different disability and meet their needs, where sort of we take for granted some of the things we have as able-bodied people. But ask some of those questions for yourself and of your churches and of your leaders, and see how can you make space for people with disabilities, removing architectural barriers, attitudinal barriers, and communication barriers.
Can I add one more thing?
Yeah.
When I think about the people that we have in Friendship Club, there are so many gifts there. Musical gifts, gifts of being able to read expressively. You know, we have one guy that directs music with a baton.
Yep.
And if I had my way, you know, every Sunday we would at least be willing to incorporate any one of those talents in worship. And when we do get the opportunity, it's much, much appreciated.
Yeah. It is worth noting that we don't have to do all the work for people with disabilities. People with disabilities do a lot of work for us.
Yeah.
Right? And serving one another, I mean.
And they're just looking for the opportunities. Yeah. And that's one thing we need to be mindful of, too.
Yeah. Everybody belongs and everybody serves. And there's real fruits of the Spirit there at Friendship Ministries, and we love when that gets to be involved in our church, too.
It's
love,
a riot.
Joy, peace, patience, all that on display. So that's great. Well, thanks for listening. Of course, we went long with our first one back, true to form. So until next week, we'll see you.